The class tonight, or at least the theme that we have, first of all, I just want to thank the Fishburgers for sponsoring, and I wanted to explain the theme is modeled after the TED Talks that they have. Now, it's not going to be a 14 to 20 minute presentation, because it is going to be a shiur, but the idea was to create a rubric, which I thought would be attractive, and I do appreciate everybody coming this evening, and I hope that we'll get to the heart, no pun intended, of what it means to love God, because there are a number of different vantage points from which we get to this fundamental mitzvah. Just by way of introduction, the Orchos Tzadikim, which is one of the great Musar works, talks about love in the Sha'ar HaChamishi, the fifth gate of all the different things which he talks about. And he talks about love and how there's different kinds of love. For example, there's the love that one person has for one's children. There's a love that people have for money. There's a love that people have for, he's talking to men, so he calls it Ahavat Nashim, the love of a woman. There's a love for one's relatives, for one's parents, for one's siblings, etc. There's a love of honor, the pursuit of honor that people try to, in some cases, achieve. And then there are other kinds of love as well. He calls the bad kind of love, which is the love of pleasures which a person should not be enjoying, etc. Some types of pleasures people should enjoy, and some kinds he should not. I'm not going to go into detail, but the point of the different kinds of love and using that as an introduction is to show that we can take the positive aspects of love that we can relate to in the various parts of our lives in which we utilize this emotion and apply them to our relationship with God. So if we could think about what it means to love our parents, to love our children, to love siblings, loved ones, to love money, whatever that may be, and apply that to how we relate to God, hopefully it can become a successful venture for us. Why are we here? Why is this topic something which is of interest to people? Well, I think it's very simple. We say twice daily in the Shema, we actually have a commandment. Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. You have to love your God. Towards the end, we're going to come to a very fascinating interpretation of what that word means, specifically the grammar of the word ve'ahavta. Okay, we'll get back to that. It's going to be one of our concluding remarks. But the question is, how can love be commanded? It's a feeling. It's an emotion. The Torah Samincha says, it's incredible. Only Am Yisrael, only the Jewish people are miyached. In other words, we call God one. And we ascribe God the unity of oneness, really. Why? Because Hashem chose us to love. Chose us. He picked us to be the ones that he loves. We know this from the prophet Malachi, who in the second verse of the prophecies of Malachi, he says, "Ahavti eschem, Amar Hashem." God says, "I love you. I love you." Also, there's only one figure in all of the Tanakh who is described as being God's beloved, and that person is Avraham. Avraham is called Ohavi. I believe it's in Yeshayahu. And so, when we think about that idea, we think about what we say right before we actually recite the Shema. We say this in the morning and in the evening. We note what's the bracha that we say beforehand. In the morning, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Habocher Be'amo Yisrael Be'ahava, that God chose His nation to love with love and to love them. And in the evening, we say also similarly Ohev Amo Yisrael, that God loves His nation. So when we think about this mitzvah to love God, the bracha actually puts it in a different kind of context. The bracha says that it's not so much that love is commanded as much as love is reciprocated. God loves us. That happened first. And so what's our job? To love God back. Just to use the image or the mashal of a love of a parent. Right? The Torah never commands us to love parents. It doesn't command it. But I would think that most people come to that point Which happened first? Is it a back and forth automatically? Clearly not. When a child is born, the child doesn't really know all that much, but the parent loves the child tremendously. And over time, that love should, in a healthy relationship, should be reciprocated, should go back no matter what path the child chooses, but it should be reciprocated. So over the next 40 minutes, what I'm going to do is the following. I'm going to define love according to the Rambam and others. I'm going to share with you how we are instructed to love God, how we come to that point, and give a number of suggestions and depictions in various sources about how we can outwardly display our love of God. And hopefully through the different ideas which we're going to hear, we can hopefully at least take a little something and add to our repertoire in terms of how we go about achieving this coveted love of God. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, he defines how the tachlis pu'ulascha kulam is hasagaso, that the essence of loving God is coming to an understanding of what God is. And the Rambam also says in the Shemona Prakim that if you've come to that understanding of what God is, then you achieve the coveted position of knowing God, Yediyas Hashem. It's actually a daily mitzvah that we have, to know God. What does it mean to know God? How do we get to the essence of God? How do we appreciate who and what God is? Well, that's the challenge. In the Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, Jerusalem Talmud in Brachos, it actually compares the first paragraph of the Shema to the Aseres HaDibros and gives examples of what each phrase equals. How Shema Yisrael, I think, equals Anochi Hashem, Hashem Echad equals Lo Yiyel Echad, that you shouldn't have any other gods before me because God is one. And Lo Sisah, Shem Hashem Lekech L'Hashav, not to take God's name in vain, is parallel to the mitzvah of the Ahavta, that you have to love God. And he even says that love means not taking God's name in vain. That lo mishtava bishmei umishaker. That you can't swear in God's name lying. If we think about what that means, what it means to take somebody's name and lie with it, it's the opposite of any kind of respect. It's the opposite of any kind of love. If the way that I view another person or another entity, in this case God, in a way that I can lie using that name, it means that it's the opposite of any kind of respect. If I can say that I can swear in your name, or I can swear using you as a kind of image, in a manner which is false. It's the opposite of love. The utmost respect is to be truthful with somebody's identity, somebody's name, and the opposite of that is lying is the opposite of love. There's a story which is also told in the Yerushalmi about Rabbi Eliezer, one of the great Tanaim. Rabbi Eliezer got sick, and each of his students came in to try to give him an idea or to give a teaching of some kind, some comforting thought as to what the purpose and what the benefit of getting sick is. I'm not going to go through all of them, because the one which he ultimately accepts is the teaching of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva comes in and he says to him, Chavivim Yisurim, that suffering is actually something which is a reflection of being beloved. And Rabbi Eliezer, when hearing that, he says, you know, it's unbelievable. You've all gave me a teaching that is a nice thought about how I should view and appreciate my suffering. And he says, but you know something? There's an element of truth to Rabbi Akiva's teaching that isn't really present in what anybody else said. And he gave an example of the King Chizkiyahu. King Chizkiyahu, one of the greater kings of Malchus Yehuda, of the kingdom of Judea. And Chizkiyahu is considered to be one of the kings who actually had a good relationship with God. Many of the kings were not so good. Chizkiyahu's son was a fellow by the name of Menashe. Menashe was the king for 55 years. And of Menashe, the Book of Kings says he was the worst person ever. I mean, he steered people to idolatry, steered people away from God. And yet, in the Book of Divrei Hayamim, Chapter 33, verses 10 to 13, it talks about how Menashe was captured by the enemy king, Sancheriv, and then he was put in chains, and he was made to suffer. And through that, guess what happened to Menashe towards the end of his life? He had a resurgence of connection to God. So Rabbi Eliezer says to, regarding Rabbi Akiva, regarding what Rabbi Akiva said, he said, you think Chizkiyahu didn't teach his son Torah? You think that Chizkiyahu, who was a good Jew, a good Jew in every way, that he didn't teach his son the proper way to have a relationship with God? He did. However, Menashe went on his own path. But what brought Menashe back? Suffering. Because sometimes when a person goes through suffering, the person recognizes and realizes that the relationship that's most important to me in my life now is the relationship that I have with God. Now, that doesn't work for everybody, obviously. We know that it's not always the case. But that's the inspiration that Rabbi Eliezer took from Rabbi Akiva's teaching and knowing the example of Menashe. Not only that, the Pesikta says that Yisurim, that if a person goes through suffering in this world, that's how a person can achieve forgiveness and atonement, really, for sin. It says if a person has a handy-dandy life, everything goes perfectly well, swimmingly all the time, and there's never any negativity, that person cannot achieve forgiveness for sin. That's what the Pesikta says. And so we have to understand as well that an element of love for God has to come from an element of Yisur, an element of suffering in this world. The Rambam also tells us that how do we come to a knowledge of God? What do we say in the Shema? We have to love God, and we're going to get to those three different things in a moment. With all your heart, with all your soul, and all your ma'od. We're going to get to what ma'od means as well. There are different definitions of what ma'od means. What's the verse right afterwards? V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochim etzavacha hayom al levavecha. All of these words, which I'm teaching you today, which I'm commanding you today, have to be on your heart. And so the Rambam says the only way that you can get to a real knowledge and appreciation and really a love of God is if the words are on your heart. I don't remember, I saw this recently, but I don't remember who said it. This is, you know, one of the ideas of having the words on your heart is, you know, we all put up barriers in our heart. Openness to ideas, openness to thoughts, openness to teachings, openness to love. We all put up barriers to those things. But every now and then, the barrier gets pushed aside. We're actually able to open up our heart. And the idea of having these devarim, these words, these teachings, these commandments on our hearts is meant to be sitting there and waiting so that at the point in our experience, when our heart actually does get opened up, it gives those words the opportunity to penetrate and to enter. And so the Rambam says if we are able to keep those words on our hearts, the commandment to love God, for example, then when our heart is ready, then it will penetrate and we could bring that idea in. The Dvarim Rabba, they're just Midrash Rabba on the Psukim of Vehavta Hashem Elokecha, just to give one last example of the definition of love. He actually compares love of a parent to who has one child to the love of a parent who has more than one child. Now, I remember my grandmother telling me this when we were about to have our second child. She was telling us about how she had her first child. She put all of her love into the one child. She was wondering, I'm going to have another one. How am I going to, you know, divide up my love to give it to another child? And her answer was, my experience was that it just expands. And you're able to give, your love just becomes more. And you can give it to each child. But as any parent knows, at least this is what the Dvarim Rabba says. You can argue with it, but I'm just sharing with you what he says. The Midrash says that a parent who has more than one child, just by default, is going to, I don't want to say play favorites, although we can look at Yitzchak and Rivka from last week's Parsha and say this one loved this one more because of this, this one loved this one more because of this. So they play favorites, like this thing about this kid, just I like that a little more. And it's not that we don't love each child and that we don't love them as much as we possibly can, but we necessarily pick things that we love more about child A, child B. He says, but if you only have one child, the Dvarim Rabba says, if you only have one child, then all the love goes into that one child. He says, so now let's flip it in the other direction. If there's only one God, then all the love towards a godly entity has to go towards God, and hopefully that is one way of understanding and appreciating what our love of God, how much love of God is supposed to be directed all towards God. How do we love God? The Yerushalmi in Brachos tells us that we say the Shema twice daily. And there's an element of just how repetition, every single day. If you say every single day, you have to love God, you have to love God, you have to love God, you have to love God. Well, eventually it should penetrate, and it should help us at least understand what our responsibility is. It's not so much how, but it's a training. And all of the Midrashim that talk about this, they emphasize this idea over and over, that there is an element of training which comes from the repetition. It's hard. You don't see God. If you don't see God, how can you come to love something which you can't see? Well, it's a mindset that needs to be trained. The Midrash Tanchuma tells us that one of the ways of understanding, all these things which I'm commanding you today need to be on your heart. He says, how do you do that? He says, well, what are devarim that go on the heart? Think about what would we say in English? What are words that we know by heart? What are words that we know by heart? It's something which is in the mind, right? Things which we just know. Things we don't have to read. Things we don't have to learn from a book, for example. So the Midrash Tanchuma says that actually the way you come to love God is through Torah Shebaal Peh, through the oral Torah. Study Gemara, study Halacha. Come to know God that way. Come to love God that way. And those words which penetrate the heart are words which stem from things which we know by heart. Now, nowadays, those words are actually written down, so it's a little easier to access in a way that they weren't once upon a time. So now to get into the different ways that we're supposed to love God. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your ma'od. So the first example that everybody gives as well is to be like Avraham Avinu. When we think about Avraham Avinu, we think about a person who loved God with all of his heart, with all of everything that he did. What does it mean to love God the way that Avraham did? God tells Avraham to do something, and what does Avraham do? He says, I'm doing it. God told me. Why? Because I love my God. What if I don't understand it? What if I have a question about it? Doesn't matter. God says it comes from him. I do. That's what it means to love God in the Avraham way. The Yerushalmi in Sota says that if a person trains oneself to love God, then even if a person has a challenge, is challenged by something that he or she feels that God did. This is the line, and it's unbelievable if you think about it. He says, if a person has come to the point where they love God, then let's say you have a problem with God. And sometimes people do have a problem with God. They get angry at God. Why did you take my family member? Why did I get sick? Why am I injured? Why did my car get stolen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? And much more drastic things, of course. He says, in basa lisno da she'ato hev. If you come to a point where you feel like you want to hate God, you have to remember that you love God. The ein ohev sone. And one who loves doesn't hate. Think about whatever disagreements we have with people who we love. Hey, whether they're political, which is silly, or things of a more dire nature. We can have disagreements. Maybe we have disagreements with our children about how to raise kids. Maybe we have disagreements with our children about how they're living their lives. Right? We disagree. But does the love disappear? The answer is no. Because if that love is, if I really truly love the person, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I can't hate the person for who they are. I may disagree, and I may hope that things will change, and I may hold out that hope always, but the love doesn't go away. And so therefore, he says, if a person comes to the point that they love God, it doesn't matter what may happen. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, it's the Mishnah in Brachos, it says, yeah, just as you bless God for all the good, you have to bless God for the bad. And we all know this. What do we say when somebody dies? Baruch, Dayan, HaEmes, Yizkadal, Yizkadash, Shmei Rabba. We bless God. The person who's saying Kaddish is talking about how amazing God is. Yizkadal, Yizkadash, Shmei Rabba. It's a declaration of God's the incredible nature of what God is. And this is an expression of love. And why do people drive themselves crazy to say the Kaddish, for example? Because they're trying to train themselves and say, look, I'm upset that you took my loved one. I'm upset that you took my parent or whomever else has passed. But I'm going to declare God's oneness and I'm going to declare how great God is. Because I have to remind myself that this relationship is not meant to falter. It's something, and as an elderly man who I knew, you know, when I lived in New York, so it was over 10 years ago, once said to me, you kids don't understand. He was talking about anybody who was younger than him. So he was about 85 at the time. Anybody who was younger than him, you could have been 84, you were a kid. Okay, you kids don't understand that the only thing you have in life is the feeling that you get when you realize that the only one in your corner is God, and that all that matters is God. Okay, this is a regular balabas, and that's what he told me, and it's something which I remember very clearly. In terms of how a person needs to get to that point. And that's what the Sifrei says. V'hayu advarim ha'ela is, it has to be on our heart, and that's how it penetrates. One of the most beautiful thoughts that I saw, which is a great action instruction, is in the Sifrei in Devarim, where he says the following. Quoting Rabbi Yoshia says, "Tzarich Adam lehashbia es Yitzro, shekein atam otze b'chol makom shatzadikim mashbiim es Yitzro." He says you have to swear in your Yetzer, your inclination. Imagine, what does that mean? Whatever feelings that a person has, which a person wants to direct towards a connection with God, you have to swear them in. You have to basically deputize your Yetzer. Say, "You are going to be the part of me that loves God." Whether it's your Yetzer Tov, your Yetzer Ra, whatever it is about you. Maybe that's the definition of what B'chol Ma'od means. Deputize everything about you to say, you're going to love God. If I tell my hand, you are now in the service of God. If I tell my foot, you're in the service of God. If I tell my brain, you're in the service of God. My eyes, you're in the service of God. Deputize everything about me to love God. Well, that's going to transform my being. It's going to transform everything about me. It's a brilliant concept articulated in five words. Tzarech Adam lehashbia es Yitzro. A person needs to deputize their Yetzer to love God. So that's the heart. That's the lev. Now we look at the soul. One of the teachings about who loved God with all of his soul is about Eov. The pasuk says, Ad igava lo asir tomasim imenu, that until I'm actually dead, I'm not going to sever my connection with God. Eov is a person who was challenged greatly in his lifetime. And nonetheless, he said, it doesn't matter what you're going to do to me, God. I'm not losing my connection with you, because that was of extreme value. I'm sure that many of us are familiar, if not all of us are familiar, with the story about Rabbi Akiva, the martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva, because it's a heavy emphasis on this idea of loving God with all of your soul. Rabbi Akiva, as the story goes, was living in a time when the study of Torah, and especially the teaching of Torah, was forbidden by the authorities under penalty of death. And Rabbi Akiva was caught, and eventually he was put to death. And even at the time when he was being tortured by the Romans, and his skin was being combed by steel combs, and he was under a tremendous amount of pain and suffering, Rabbi Akiva was declaring God's oneness, saying Shema. The Gemara says that he died with the name of God, or with the words Hashem Echad, on his mouth. And his students were saying, Rabbi, how could you be so happy at this time? You're being tortured, you're dying, and here you are singing God's praise. How could you do it? And he said, all my life I wanted to know, or I knew of the teaching that says that what does it mean to love God with all your soul? That even if you have to give up your soul, even if you have to lose your life, that's the extent of what it means to love God with all your soul. So now that I have the opportunity to demonstrate that I can give up my soul with the love of God on my mouth, wouldn't I be happy? Shouldn't I be happy? That's the story of Rabbi Akiva. We should never be challenged that way. We should never be challenged that way. But are we willing to embrace that opportunity if it should happen? We don't have to think too hard about people who died al kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name, whether in the previous generation or in the history of the Jewish people. We think about what it was that these people stood for and what they gave up their lives for, saying either I'm not going to let them kill me, or I'm going to let them kill me, and I'm not going to give up what my connection with God is. Maybe some people didn't even have a connection with God. It doesn't matter. The fact is that they gave up their lives because they were Jewish people. That is dying al kiddush Hashem, even if it takes your life. The Sifrei, when it talks about each of these examples of loving God with your heart and with your soul and with your ma'od, in addition to giving some of the examples that I mentioned, they attribute each one of these to one of the avos. So Abraham, as was mentioned, was the pasuk that Abraham is declared as being God's beloved. But in addition to that, Abraham did whatever God told him to do. So when it comes to loving God with the soul, Yitzchak is used as the example. And who is Yitzchak? Yitzchak is the one who, yes, he was brought to the top of the mountain, but whose life was at risk. Who's the one who allowed it to continue? Who's the one who didn't run away? Who's the one who didn't fight his father? Yitzchak. So we can call it Akedas. I mean, we could talk about it being Avraham's test all that we want, but the fact of the matter is that who was willing to give up his life for the sake of God, for a command that he wasn't even given, but because he understood from his father that this is what God wanted, so Yitzchak was willing to do that. So that's another example of how far our connection of loving God with the soul is supposed to go. Now, would we be put in such a position that if the beloved father is going to kill the beloved child? I think that was a one-time deal, Abraham and Yitzchak, in the sense of a commandment. But again, it's a reflection of what it means to what extent and to what degree a person is going to love God with their soul. And finally, when it comes to Ma'od, when the Sifrei gives Yaakov as an example, Yaakov's depiction of loving God with all of his Ma'od, and my best definition of Ma'od is not about money. I know that that's one of the definitions. There are a number of definitions in the Gemara about what Ma'od means. But Ma'od means with everything about you. Everything about you. And so when it describes Yaakov's loving God with all of his Ma'od, it uses the depiction of himself that Yaakov gives at the very beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. Remember when Yaakov is faced with the encounter with Esau, where he doesn't know what's going to be happening. So what does Yaakov say? He offers up a prayer and he says to God, Katonti, mikol ha-chasadim, mikol ha-emes. I am humbled. I feel very small because I haven't deserved anything that you've given to me. And I am belittling myself before God, and I'm basically saying, and he offers to give everything that he has to Esav, and he's ready to give up everything because what's important to him is his ability to connect with God. What does Yaakov do towards the end of the parsha? What's his whole goal? His whole goal is to go with his family to a place called Beit El, where he can bring sacrifices to God and make declarations to God, and he's willing to go there having given up everything to Esav, because it's all about the connection to God. It's not about anything else. It's about my being able to give everything which I have for my connection with God. So that's as far as how do we love God. We have the examples of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov for B'chol levavacha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, and the degrees of how far we are meant to take all of these things. Remember, the deputizing our Yetzer to love Hashem, to be willing to give up everything in terms of soul and property for the sake of God. That's how the degree of how we're supposed to go about doing it. Which leads us to our last part, the outward loving of God. So there's a very important first ingredient before we get to loving God. And this comes from an anonymous work. I mean, it probably wasn't anonymous when it was written, but we don't know who wrote it, which is called the Pitron Torah. And the Pitron Torah says that in order to love God, kol mi sheyohav Hashem ve'ohev es atzmo yiyeh oseh osam. That a person who loves God, but who also loves himself, will be able to fulfill the mitzvos which are the positive mitzvos. Masayim ve'arba'im u'shmona mitzvos asei, kulan tluyin b'ahavas b'ahavtas Hashem l'kecha. All 248 positive commandments that we have, they are only fulfilled for one reason, because a person loves God. Why else would a person fulfill a mitzvah? But the only way that a person can fulfill a mitzvah of loving God is if the person first has personal equilibrium intact. A person has to love oneself first. And that's, in some cases, it's a tremendous challenge. Whether people just don't like themselves, or they have depression, or they feel inadequate in their lives, he says that is a key ingredient first. Without loving oneself, then you can't come to a point of loving Hashem. And if you think about it, there's another mitzvah which is similar to that in the sense of love. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, guess what? If you don't love yourself, there's no way you can possibly love your neighbor in the way that mitzvah is supposed to be fulfilled. The Gemara in Yuma and a number of Midrashim as well, they talk about what it means to love God through a person's behaviors. And it describes how a person who loves God goes around and learns and serves Talmidei Chachamim, serves the scholars, and their business transactions, V'yei masa'o matano b'nachas imabrios, their business transactions are done pleasantly, with a smile with other people, and they speak kindly to them. And what do people say when they see this individual? They say, oh, praised is this individual, or praised is this person's parent who taught him Torah. Praised is this person's Rebbe who taught this person Torah. And praised, therefore, is this person's God who this person represents in such a beautiful way. Contrast to the person who doesn't walk around in such a fashion, who doesn't give off that impression, but in fact gives off the opposite, in which outsiders who perceive the person say, cursed is the, or woe to the father, woe to the Rebbe, who was unsuccessful in teaching this person Torah. Woe to this person's God, who didn't teach this person morals and ethics. And woe to this individual, who just represents himself so poorly. It's a simple idea that the loving of God is trained into us through the way in which we go about living a moral and ethical life. Are there people who are Talmidei Chachamim even who don't do this? Absolutely. And it's a stain on everything, because they're the negative side of what the Gemara talks about, of living a life which is representative of the love that we're supposed to have for God. So that's behavior number one. Another behavior that we are, that's behavior towards others. Another behavior that we're meant to have to help us, to help train us into our loving of God, is another example that we can take from Avraham. The Aksav HaKabbalah in last week's parsha as well, he says that when Yitzchak redug all the wells that his father dug up, he gave them the names that his father had given them. And if we know anything about what Avraham did, every time he went somewhere and he gave a place a name, he called it using the name of God. Like for example, Har HaMoriah, he called it the place Hashem Yireh, place where God is seen. He referred to the house Beit El, the house of God, etc., etc., etc. And so the Ksav HaKabbalah said that what Yitzchak did was he followed in his father's example, which is if you call places by the name of God, then when people talk about these places, oh, I'm going to Beit El. Well, guess what? They're already saying. They're having God's name on their lips. And that's and a similar idea is referred to by the Sifrei when he says that this is exactly what Avram did. He brought people, tachas kanfei Hashchina, under the wings of the divine presence through always talking about God. He had Shem Hashem Shagar Befiv. He had God's name on his lips. David HaMelech. This is the way David HaMelech operates, King David, throughout the book of Shmuel. We see that whenever David talks, whenever from one of the first times we encounter him, when he's encountering Goliath in the battlefield. So Goliath says, I'm going to destroy you like a dog. And what does David say? God, who watches over me and who saved me from the bear, who saved me from the other wild animals, he's going to deliver you into my hands. David always has God's name on his lips, and he always credits God. And it's that, it's a basic element of training. I remember one of my rabbeim in high school always said, you have to always say God's name. And how do you do it? You say, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, with God's help, God willing, saying it over and over and over again, and essentially saying, identifying that I recognize that everything that happens in my life is with God's help in some form, or it happens, Baruch Hashem, things happen because of God's help. It's a training that we have. We recognize God, and if we see that everything that happens in our lives, God's hand is on it, because that's what we're saying all the time, then we can also come to love God. The Midrash Rabbah tells us the following, in the name of Rabbi Meir, another behavior that we can have towards Hashem. He says, Al kol neshima u'neshima she'adam ma'aleh chayev l'kaleis es yotzero. That for every breath that a person has, a person needs to issue a kind of praise to God. Minayin, where do we know this from? As the verse says, "Kol hanishama tahalel Yah," that every soul needs to praise God. Listen to the word nishama. The midrash is basically saying, where Rabbi Meir is teaching, it's not kol hanishama, that every soul, kol hanishima, that every breath that a person takes, we should really, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. I did it again. Really, we should do that. Now, obviously, if we do that all the time, we're not going to get anything done, which is why we have set times during the day to pray and to praise God. But just to take it to another level, the Sefer HaCharedim says that, you know, the book of Shir HaShirim is meant to be a reflection of the relationship between man and God, between the Jewish people and God. And one of the verses in Shir HaShirim is that Ki Cholas Ahava Ani, that I'm lovesick for you. That's the kind of feeling that we're meant to have with God. That's the kind of relationship that we're meant to have with God, to feel lovesick for God. And he even says that if one of the ideas that David HaMelech talked about was how he would wake up in the middle of the night to praise God. And we're familiar with the idea of David's harp, right? Waking him up at midnight. And the, you know, the Kabbalists took this to very, very literally, to go ahead and to do Tikkun Leil Chatzos every single night, right at midnight, to wake up and to praise God. The Sefer HaCharedim says that we even talk about God as Livavi, Sur Livavi, or we refer to God as Nafshi, or either that God is like my soul, or God is like my heart, or we might say Tzama Nafshi Lelokim, that my soul yearns for God. But what he says, and here's the line that I mentioned at the outset, that I was going to give you another interpretation of V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. He says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. So there are different ways that we can say that you have to love God. So the easy one is Te'ahav, or Tohav as God. He says, what is V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha? That you have to cause others to love God. It's like a charge to the Kiruv worker, or to the Jewish missionary, Lahavdil. That's not the best word to use. But I, as I was reading through all these things which talk about V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, they all talk about going out and teaching. Just as Abraham created the nefesh asher asu b'charan, just as Abraham preached about monotheism and preached about God to other people, that's the job which Jewish people have, to tell people about God, to tell people about the oneness of God, and to cause others to come to the point that they love God. The Sefer HaCharedim also talks about singing to God. It says, if you think about all the great leaders of the Jewish people in the Torah, in the Tanakh, and he gives a number of examples. He talks about B'nai Moshe and the B'nai Israel, as we all know from the Song at the Sea. Miriam, Devorah, Yehoshua, the sons of Korach, David, Shlomo. How did they express their love of God? Through song. Well, they wrote Tehillim. Many of those are the authors of Tehillim. But he says, we have to sing. We have to sing to God at any opportunity that we have. Many of us limit our singing to in shul. We limit our singing to perhaps the Shabbos table. But the Sefer HaCharedim says we should be singing all the time. And thank God we live in a time when there's a lot of Jewish music out there using the right kinds of words to help us feel a connection to God. But if a person wants it, says, with all due respect to Frank Sinatra, you can listen to him too, but you got to listen to music which is going to inspire you to love God. And sing the music which is going to inspire you to love God. I want to share with you what the Sefer HaChinuch says, because the Sefer HaChinuch gives us incredible instruction about how we can go about loving God and fulfilling the mitzvah. He says, these are the laws of the mitzvah of loving God. In addition to talking about the training and the missionary activity, which I mentioned before, he says, a person should put all of one's thoughts and all of one's essence towards the feeling of loving God. And a person has to evaluate in one's heart all the time that everything that's in the world, from wealth, children, honor, it's nothing in comparison to what a person's love of God is supposed to be. And a person should be concerning oneself with this all the time, seeking out wisdom in order to, as the Rambam said, as one of the ideas which I began with, in order to understand God, in order to come to a knowledge of God, to know who God is. And if a person puts in all of one's efforts, leharigil machshavos libo, to train the thoughts of one's heart all day towards the faith in God and the unity of God, meaning the oneness of God, until there is no time. There shouldn't be a moment in a person's life when a person forgets this feeling, this idea that God is one, that I love God. It's a training, and it's a mindset that can only be achieved through the training, through the repetition that will happen in the existence which people have. It has to be a constant effort. And that's why the Sefer HaMitzvos HaGadol has a very, very, very lengthy passage in which he says that how does a person get to the greatest level of love? Through recognizing that everything about the person comes from the God who created him. And he lists every single item of a person's body, from the material that created the human being to the holes of the eyes, the eyelids, the eyes, the holes of the ears, the holes of the nostrils, and explaining what each of these things do. Not that we don't know, but we need a reminder. The mouth, the teeth, the tongue, the stomach, and he goes through all the internal organs as well. Every single one, or at least every single major one. And then he goes into the heart, and the lungs, and the liver, and the spleen, and the kidneys, and then he gets into bones, and blood, and all the synapses, and the brain, and the skull, and even the hair, everything about a person, hands, the belly button, and how the belly button is the source of life when you're inside the womb, and hands and feet, all of this, he says, if a person can only think and remember that all these things are gifts of God, then what would we be doing all the time? We would love God. You love do we love our parents for giving us life? Yes. Well, he's saying that all of these things can only happen because there's God who allowed us to be created and allows our bodies to function on a regular basis. And so what's the conclusion that he comes to? I just came to the image as I was reading this. Actually, I'm going to get to that at the very end. So I'm going to get back to that in a moment. The Ramban says, how do you get to love God? Through tefillah. Not just through the three times a day when we daven, but at times of tzara, when there's difficulty. Who do we turn to? Do we blame? No, we turn to God. And we're all very good about this. We say Tehillim, we put a name in the Mishaberach, but it's up to us to remember that this is just another way of building the relationship with God through tefillah. So the last line that the Sefer HaMitzvos Gadol has when he talks about how we're supposed to appreciate all the different aspects of the our bodies and all the gifts that God has given to us, he says the following. A person shouldn't go through life doing things amanas l'kabel pras, as the Mishnah says. You don't do things to be a person who serves the master in order to earn a prize. Rather, what a person does, a person's goal is le'ahavas Hashem elokecha v'lishmo b'kolo, as we're told in other places in the Torah as well, in the Book of Devarim, that our job is to love God and to listen to His voice. Shelo yomar adam ekra b'shvil sheikra'uni Rebbe. People shouldn't say that I'm going to read and study so that people will call me Rebbe. Eshne b'shvil sheyeh zakein ve'eshev yeshiva, that I'm going to learn so that as I grow older, I'll be honored as an older person who studies. Ela lamod me'ava, learn out of love, v'sof hakavod lavo, and the honor will come. If a person does everything right, because a person loves God, then as a result, the person will achieve the greatness which is meant to come. And when I was thinking about the way that he describes this, I was thinking, an image came to my mind of a book that I'm sure many of us read, and that book is 1984. Remember what's the last line in 1984? The last line in 1984. Well, 1984 is a horror book, right? It's about a big brother who's watching over at everything, and big brother is basically monitoring everything that we do. It's what we don't want to happen, but it's happening because there are video cameras everywhere, and when government gets bigger, we talk about big brother. And there's a fella who just doesn't really buy into it. He doesn't like how they rewrite history at every turn to make things fit in with the way things are in big brother's line of thinking. At the very end of the book, after being beaten by somebody, it's a long time ago that I read the book, but after being beaten and being forced into submission, The fellow comes to the conclusion that he loves Big Brother. It's anti everything that you wanted to read in the book, but he loves Big Brother. Why? Because it's been put into him that this is something which he is supposed to attach himself to and admire and feel is essential to his life. Well, lahavdil, many havdelos in the other direction. Nobody's forcing us. Nobody's beating us with a stick. Nobody's telling us that this is what we have to do. It's a choice that we have to make. And if we can train ourselves in all the different things which have been outlined, the repetition of the Shema, the tefillah, the song, the having God's name on our lips, the being thankful and grateful to God for everything that we have in our lives, and reminding ourselves on a constant basis that this is who we are, this is our connection, this is our appreciation, then we should be blessed. We should be blessed to be able to fulfill not just V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, but the other times in the Torah when it says that our goal in life is L'ahavas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul. Recognize that everything that we have is a gift of God, and that we can only dedicate everything that defines who we are, our heart, soul, and everything that we own to God, we should be able to come to the point where we love God. There is a lot more to say, and hopefully in the next two classes about Yira and about Kavod, how we're supposed to relate to God in other ways, we'll get to some more treats about how we can train ourselves to have this great connection with God. Yes, sir?
I just want to say, I've read, I've learned, and even experienced that if you really fear God, you cannot
help. That's the next class, or maybe it's the third one, about fearing God. So we're going to get there. Obviously, it's a combination of everything. Love, fear, and respect. That's how you get to the ultimate goal. The main thrust of this evening, though, is that when the Rambam and everyone else talks about the relationship with God, there is fear and there is honor, but the highest level of a connection with God is love. And that's the one with which we began. Sometimes you have to use the other ones to help you get to love. But I wanted to start high, not to go downhill from here, but to use the other ones as entrance points as well, to help us achieve the highest level, which is to love God. Yes?
Can you briefly address B'chol Me'odecha?
I think that B'chol Me'odecha is probably best articulated by the Sefer HaMitzvos in talking about every part of one's body, but also recognizing that everything that we have is a gift of God. If we appreciate that our property and the things which we own are just gifts for us as we're going through, then it becomes a question of how we utilize those things. I mean, one of the passages which I just didn't mention, but it's also in the Rambam, where he says a person shouldn't seek, for example, he just uses gold, the image of gold, to put gold in one's curtains or in one's adornment of one's home or in the adornment of one's clothes for the sake of kavod. Okay? Don't do it so that you should be honored. People say, oh, look, this fancy person, right? But if you're doing it to serve God better, because what I'm doing here is how I, it's like Zeke Levi Anveu, for example. Right? This is my God. This is how I glorify him. So if the action is meant to enhance my relationship with God, he says, then it has value. But if it's just to enhance the honor that I get in this world, he says, that's the opposite. So I think that B'chol Me'odecha means anything you own, anything about you, is meant to be channeled towards the service of God. Again, it's a mindset that requires training. I don't think that a lot of people get this intuitively or automatically. It's about repetition over and over and telling myself that this is, you know, when I do Shabbos, it's not so that I can enjoy Shabbos. I do Shabbos because this is how I serve God. When I have a nice steak and I make a bracha over it, I'm thanking God for this, and I'm eating so that I can serve God better. That's how everything that we do has to be towards enhancing that love connection we're supposed to have. Yes, sir. Aaron. You said a lot. I'm not sure. Did you have a question, or you were just? Was it
no,
point?
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. So thank you. I would just quickly respond to the things that you said, there's a reason why we don't look to Adam and Noach for their loving example. We look to Abraham. The idea of being loving oneself, that leading to gaiva. So I think it's clear that the Rambam, who talks a lot about all this stuff, talks about a middle road. An extreme of anything is never good. Even Abraham's model of chesed, to a certain degree, was too much, because it came at the expense sometimes of his wife, it came at the expense of his son, it came at the expense of relationships which he had. Even the Torah, when it talks about, there's one time when the word chesed appears in the Torah, it's in a very unfortunate context of describing an incestual relationship. And it's described as chesed. Why? Because sometimes chesed, being really kind to somebody, as we're seeing nowadays in the media, can be taken to a very, 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 very bad place. So everything needs to be in moderation. There needs to be a golden mean. And that's very important, especially in loving oneself, but recognizing, in other words, if it goes to gaiva, that's too far. We're not looking for that. But a person should say, I'm a decent person, and not let it get to their head. And when it does get to their head, that's a problem. But use that foundation to say, now that I'm comfortable with me, I can love God. If I'm not comfortable with me, I'm not going to love God. There's no way. So, thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to draw this to an end, because and thank everybody again. And I appreciate everybody for coming on a very deep level. And I hope that that we'll meet again in a month at the next installment of this series. Yeah.